Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Inspired Evolution. Man, it is such a treat to be here today. Today we have how can I say this properly?
Zachariah.
So I've been saying Zachariah, but it's Zachariah Fisher. Man, it is such a treat to have you here.
I'm so stoked to be here, bro.
For those tuning in to Zachariah for the first time, he's the founder of Peace Guardians. I can't wait to rip this open and go all the way in and find out what's really going on here. It's a Los Angeles-based global youth organization that promotes a new paradigm of education, right? And this is rooted in things like intuition, creative expression, flow states. They're doing such amazing work. They've actually partnered with Mind Valley and co-facilitated the youth department of Mind Valley University. He's also, just on the side, just because he can, innovated a new sport called Kinflow. And it seeks to change the paradigm of hyper-competition into flow-based objectives. So I'm keen to dive into that and just find out what's going on there, because the word hyper-competition obviously has some real yummy triggers in there. And I think it's really awesome to just connect with someone that is so focused on purpose, has a real deep passion, and is really focused on what curiosity really means in and around life as well. So absolute treat to have you here, bro.
Dude, I'm lit up, man. I love the energy of the vibe. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more. We could start anywhere, but I'd love to start with where does you're here, you're informed, and you're creating such amazing things. Your story, hit us with a little bit of what's going on in there, bro.
Yeah, man. I trace it back to my father passing away when I was 10 months old.
Wow.
Yeah, he actually died in a helicopter accident, and he was a really prolific television director in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And so I always had a gap in my heart from that moment on. It was a real kind of inciting incident, and I, from a young age, felt a calling towards mentorship. I felt like I wanted to give what I didn't have.
Right.
Be a big brother, basically.
Yeah.
And so I started coaching. I was really into sports myself and playing a ton of sports. And flow was always a big piece of my upbringing as well. I played basketball for 6 hours, and I couldn't even see the hoop anymore. I couldn't hear my mom calling me. I was obsessed with what I later found out was a flow state.
You're in the zone.
In the zone, baby.
Yeah.
So I was the youngest PE coach in the Los Angeles Unified School District in my early 20s.
Awesome.
While attending UCLA.
Yeah.
And so I got a really deep impression of my love for youth growing up and being a teacher, being a mentor.
Yeah, teaching.
Yeah. But then I got a little burnt out because I got a lot of standardized pressure from administration to do things a certain way, where at that time, this was the early 2000s, I was teaching things like mindfulness and yoga and going into those softer skills through the games.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of, people thought it was a little woo-woo. They didn't know exactly what the kids were doing. They were doing namaste, what,
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of, I got fed up of having to do things their certain way. So
cookie cutter, yeah.
Yeah. And so I actually went into a very different path for about a decade.
Right.
I went down the corporate path, as many do. And I kind of rose up the ranks of sales and different things, whether it was wireless or it was my last job was selling gold and silver commodities.
Okay.
And I just made a ton of money, but I was super unfulfilled inside.
Right.
And simultaneously, I would be going to Peru and doing ayahuasca and I was going deep into my own mindfulness practices and like really deeply feeling this need to find my purpose again.
Right.
And so I made a promise to myself and to my teacher, Saul David Ray, who's a really amazing yoga teacher. I was in Costa Rica and there was all these coconuts. So that was the mythology of the space I was in. I was just saw coconuts and I was praying. I was like at this breaking point in my life where I was totally miserable. I wasn't following my heart. I wasn't following my passion. Had a huge overhead. Didn't know how to get out of that. And so I was just like ripping my heart open and just like completely wailing to spirit, like, show me the way. And the analogy that came, the metaphor that came was like, I'm the coconut, crack me open. I don't care what nectar oozes out of me. Just crack me wide open.
Right.
And the clarity that came, that kept coming over and over again, the intersection point for me kept coming back to youth. And so what I started to do is I started to put some events together literally at my house on grass. So you talk about grassroots. We're talking about like literally on the roots of grass. Yeah. Children, homeschool moms organized some events at my house. This was back in 2015, still in my corporate job. And I'll never forget, it was one picture of this little girl named Somali Rose. I was driving to my corporate job and I would, mind you, I would cry on my way to work when I drove past schools because I would see the, the kids playing. And I just knew there's something in my pulling me. I would literally bawl on my way to work.
Yeah.
And this one picture that we took of an event that we did with Somali, she had her fist and she was piercing the camera and she had this power and this like just ferocity of like passion, and she's six and adorable. And I just was like, I was done. Like, I could not live this dualistic life anymore. I had to make a choice. I'm either gonna go all in on my passion or I'm just gonna completely suppress it and push it aside. And it became a choiceless choice.
Yeah.
Long story short, a few months later, I end up leaving the corporate sales job and starting Peace Guardians from the ground up.
Yeah.
And so that was about 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked back since, man.
Wow. What a journey in a nutshell. Thank you so much for sharing that. There's so much in there. Okay. So let's just take off where you left off. Why Peace Guardians? Why did you choose that as a name?
So actually, it started off, the organization started off as Peaceful Ninjas, with my buddy Shine.
Yeah.
And just full transparency, and I love, raw vulnerability.
Yeah, podcasting is amazing for that, yeah.
We started off with amazing synergy. It was like, yeah, we're going to do this, have big grand vision.
Yeah.
And it was great to like fuel the first initial embers of the vision.
Mm.
But we ended up having a bit of a falling out and seeing things in a different way. Yep. So we went a separate way. Mm. And so the only appropriate thing to do was to change the name.
Right.
And so, Peace Guardians essentially is, instead of being a warrior, because I'm really into the, way of the peaceful warrior.
Mm.
But I, the mentality of war is no longer something that I really resonate with.
Yeah.
But the vibration resonance of guardian is something that touches my heart.
That's beautiful, brother. There's been this realization that a friend of mine has consistently been bringing to my awareness, which is he heard it from a quote, which he keeps leaning back in on, which is, we've got to wage peace the way they wage war.
Mm. Yeah, all
yeah. You know, and I'm just like, wow, like, because peace needs to get organized. And I'm just like, wow, that's really profound. So I love the name Peace Guardians and really represents and stands behind. I love the way you started as well, because personally that's where the podcasting came for me as well. Actually, I started inviting people over to my house to have these spiritual philosophy gatherings.
Mm.
We were just having such great conversations for about a year while I was still in my corporate role, that people were like, dude, start a podcast. And I'm like, nah, man. And like, do it. And I'm like, nah, man. And eventually it just clicked and I started, and here we are, and 2.5, 2 years later, it's like completely changed my life.
No looking back.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love the energy of the grassroots movement, and really, I love the way you put that as well. It wasn't a choice.
Choiceless choice.
Tell me a little bit more about what's burning in the spirit in those moments when you have to just you just know beyond rational thinking?
Yeah, I mean, we that's a good question. I think intuition plays a big piece of it as well. Yeah. Having the humility and vulnerability to really tune into guidance and surrender and create a lifestyle around that.
Yeah.
And then once you do, then when something becomes a very clear signal that's like undeniable and you're just whole, or your entire cellular being is moving in that direction, then you have to follow that to create a life around that. Yeah. And it just, to me, it became about, first it was like hope, and then it became like faith, and then it became trust, and then it became knowing. You know?
That's a really good breakdown. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Because I was going to ask you in the next question, which is like, for those that perhaps, because I believe, and obviously you and I are like walking out onto this own path, so we have this sort of, but I'm curious in terms of like those that, you know, are sort of resistant towards taking that leap of faith. But I think you spoke to it a little bit in terms of it starts with hope, you know, and it evolves all the way into trust and then knowing.
You can't solve a problem at the same level of mind that created it, right? Einstein. So for me, what that translates into is, okay, my way, is it bringing me fulfillment? Is it bringing me happiness? Is it uplifting others around me? And if the answer is no, then it's really going back to the drawing board and actually erasing the drawing board, unwinding and unlearning, having the humility. And again, to me, the key words here are humility.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vulnerability, listening, surrender, action.
Yeah, well.
And so it's not going to come from that same paradigm of belief system. And so for me, it was certain practices, whether it was yoga or mindfulness or plant medicine. Plant medicine was a big piece as well. I don't talk a ton about it, but it's certainly played a huge role in helping me get more, gain more clarity.
Sure.
But ultimately, the kind of the thread of it was just listening and surrender. And then from there, getting more and more prompts, more omens, more symbols, more clarity, and building the acceleration of the confidence that those symbols are there for a very precise reason.
Yeah.
You know? I love that. So it's a big redirect.
As I'm sitting here with you in this conversation, there's an edge for me that I really want to approach, and I'm hoping we can go there, which is I can sense this in this conversation that there's this – yes, you're a teacher, right? And so you're helping youth through intuition, through creative expression, through flow. But you can, even in this conversation, like helping them be vulnerable, tapping into like we can, you know, everyone can feel that energy for sure. But I can sense this perpetual student, you know, which is an energy that I completely align to at all times. For me, this is my school. The podcast is my school, you know. But I can sense that in you as well. You know, it's like this energy of continually wanting to grow and learn and develop. Can you talk to us about that, like, you know, always learning and always being willing to be open and vulnerable and surrendering?
Yeah.
But then also being like the sharer of like, you know, information, wisdom, knowledge, knowing and like imparting and then just that.
Yeah, the thread. I think, you know, I was listening to your podcast with Stephen Kotler, and he talked about like, a lot of times we say love is the absence of fear, but he also used curiosity. Like, you can't be curious and fearful at the same time, right?
That blew me out of the water.
That's a Peniel Punch. And that's
Peniel Punch. I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And so, I think, and that's a big piece of what we do with the youth is help them to gain clarity and anchoring in their natural curiosities. I mean, Stephen Kotler himself, he wrote the article in Forbes. Jason Silva talks about it. Yeah. It's like identifying what you're curious about, and in the intersection of your curiosities is the mana of your passion.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think exploration, wonder, that childlikeness. I mean, I have a bit of a, to me, the children are teachers for me, you know, that like they are two teachers, but for me in particular, they're really my guru in many ways. And they just, because they move about the world organically through play. Mm. Right. And so playing more, curiosity, wonder, exploration, you know, even like, again, Einstein, his thought experiments, those non-linear thought forms that just pierce through the veil of linear thinking. Mm. So it does require, you know, just a real open mind of wonder, curiosity, and awe.
Yeah, you know? Wow. And so, you know, there's obviously this conversation that we can't avoid, like they are our future, you know. So how much does that drive and fill you?
Yeah. How much? What's the question?
The fact that the kids are our future, like, is that a massive part of like what drives your passion and purpose as well?
100%. I mean, again, going back to Kotler, he says we have about 3 generations to figure this out on an environmental level. So from an empathy standpoint, right, having children at a young age feeling connected to their own emotions so that they can actually feel what the fuck is going on in the environment and say, no, we're not going to do what's been done for millennia. Mm. We're going to make a change. And so I think it really does start. I think you nailed it on the head. It starts with empathy.
Yeah.
And empathy is a space of, to me, vulnerability and feeling safe to feel and to express your feelings from a very young age.
Yeah.
In terms of the future, I'm a little biased, but I can't think of anything more crucial than how we educate our future generations.
Yeah, sweet. Can we go into that a little bit in terms of what are some of the challenges you see at the moment for, like, you know, the way kids are currently being, like, through the mainstream? Obviously, Peace Gardens is bringing, like, a new paradigm in.
Yeah.
What is the paradigm that it's replacing, in your opinion?
Well, on a basic level, you've got an industrial revolution-based education system, you know, that's archaic and no longer applicable to the modern day. Mm-hmm. You have the technology as an incredible tool, and also it can go either way. A hammer can kill somebody, can create build a house. So we've got all the resources necessary to make a systemic change. Mm-hmm. To me, it's what you resist persists. So I'm not interested in fighting the system.
Yeah.
I'm interested in building new ones.
Right.
You know, Buckminster Fuller, we always talk about creating the world you want to see as compared to fighting it. So
yeah, which is a really, you've just mentioned that in passing, but it's a really deep insight, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
man. Just wanting to create a whole new paradigm. So in terms of like, you can see that what currently is there isn't working, because I know there's this whole education, like, on a big part was built on the idea that, from my understanding, and I might be completely wrong, feel free to correct me, is that, like, there was, you know, kids were better operators in factories than adults were, because they could move faster, less safe, but they were quicker, they were, you know, like sponges, they would take things on more. But then adults were being driven out of, you know, this is the Henry Ford era of, like, industrialization, and then they were, like, being moved out of jobs for adults when these were the ones that were bringing home bread, right?
Yeah.
And so they were like, okay, we can create schools to basically daddy daycare our kids, and then from there take them through basically indoctrinating them to then work in white-collar jobs instead of blue-collar jobs, which is what their parents were working, right? So it was productive in that it gave education, and then society has evolved beneficially because of that, because now you've got education, and then, you know, more and more kids are doing white-collar jobs. Society is becoming more productive as a byproduct of, like, okay, you don't necessarily have, like, a laborer anymore. You've got an engineer that can then, you know, like, come up with an idea about how the labor should apply itself, and just as one example. But even when we look at, you know, and this is, like, I'm excited that you've created a sport. Like, you know, we look at, you know, how we are educated, like, I'll just speak vulnerably from my truth, like, you know, consistently interfacing with people that have hip and neck and back problems because they spend their whole day sitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, yeah, you need yoga in your life. You know, why is yoga making a sweep across the West? Because everybody's sitting all the time, but you're indoctrinated to sit, you know, and consistently just be in that position so that when you get to your office, it's not weird for you. You know, you spend your school time literally sitting in chairs, answering questions, writing down. It's like, okay, cool. Now you're being groomed into this other paradigm.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a whole space in there for like to have a conversation around, you know, the body, but then also intuition and like where like all these other things which don't fit in grooming somebody into industrial labor or industrial workforce really sits, you know, in creativity in and around that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you look at anything efficiency-wise, you know, 100 years ago, you've got the first Fords coming out, and now you've got the Tesla. Yeah. So there's an evolution that you see in technology, and you know, Silva talks about it all the time. Is like 25 years ago, the head of state didn't have the same access that a kid in rural, you know, Uganda has right now on his iPhone, right?
Yeah.
And so we're seeing this exponential growth curve in technology, and there's really, you know, the jobs that were necessary, the factory, the rote, you know, jobs. Really can be replaced by robots now. And so it creates space for us to be human and to be innovative and to be creative and to actually use our, you know, intelligence to innovate new paradigms. And we don't need to do it the way we've done it before. And to me, that's just a symbol of the universal consciousness expanding and growing and moving forth from archaic to, you know, hopefully more and more precise and awakened. And so, yeah, we're seeing a huge systemic shift in this in education. A lot of parents are also moving their child out of traditional schooling, whether it's mandatory vaccines or just seeing that it's no longer an applicable system. So I think it's just organically shifting. And it's really just our job to continue to move the ball forward.
Yeah, right. I love that. You talk about creative nature. Tell me a little bit more about what that really means to you.
We're all born creative. You know, we've come out and we're just natural explorers.
But what about those people that are like, I'm not creative? You've heard that statement. I know, I believe what you believe.
Yeah.
But you've heard that statement is that I'm not creative. And it's like, I hear that and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
What goes on in that?
Well, I mean, it does take a certain amount of willpower to make changes and to shift belief systems. I mean, that's nothing more than a belief. But innately, we are all creative in some fashion. We all have our own unique curiosities and gifts.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's to me one of the reasons why I'm passionate about working with children is because you have a real opportunity in those formidable years to have them feel confidence and anchor in that creativity for their lifetime.
Yeah.
It's a bit harder when it gets calcified into adulthood and we feel, you know, that you just like you said, maybe we don't feel creative. But I think the starting point is a great question that a friend of mine just gave me to ask the kids is you're 10 years old. Okay, so this is actually a great question for adults. You're 10 years old, or you could say 8, or any age that feels, you know, where you were still in tune with your imagination and your play, but also like expressing that in the world. And you have a totally free day, like no restrictions whatsoever. What would you do with your day? Starting to bring that remembrance of what we brought us so much joy as a child.
Yeah, I'd literally just grab my BMX and just piss off.
Some of it, you know, different levels of it. But even if it was a little, like, you know, whatever it is, a little abstract, a little weird, you know, something that's not practical now.
Yeah.
The core question there isn't so much what you were doing as it is how you felt. The feeling you experienced.
Right.
And anchoring that in, remembering that, because that's the mana.
Yeah, amazing. I love that. I love that. And so when you're saying these kids are your teachers, some part of me lights up because, you know, when we talk about creativity and, I guess, youth, I remember coaching the kids at Mind Valley University into podcasting just because it was something that, you know, has given me so much that, you know, like here at Mind Valley, there's everybody has a voice, everybody has a message is something I believe. So like giving them a platform to do that is like a blessing for me just to be able to support people's mission. So in and around that, I was like, you know, I sit down with adults and it's like, yep, let's create a podcast. What would you like to do? And they're like, okay, you know, this is my idea. This is my background. And somehow it always ends up in personal development space, like most of it. And admittedly, it's probably because where I'm in those circles. So my echo chamber. But I remember going to coach these kids into podcasting and the ideas were like, I want to talk about how football has an influence on fashion. And I'm like, that's a brilliant idea. Like, who comes up with that, you know? Right. And they're like, I want to talk about how the environment, like, that I live in impacts my thoughts. And I'm like, dude, you're like eight. That's your thought? Like, dude, are you serious? And just the ideas, it was such, like, a bedrock hot, like, it was just hot. Well, it was the only way I could describe it in terms of like what was coming out of that. And I was just like, kids are so creative.
Yeah.
Like so creative. Like the abundance is ridiculous.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell me more about that. Like, yeah, you know, like you would interface with a lot of this and like creativity becomes like a natural way of being, I guess.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're in general terms less jaded by by life and by systems and by suppressed societal mental constructs. And that's what it takes. It takes that abstract, play-based, wild energy to go to those places. And to me, that it's a sacred, it's as a sacred birthright that we all have is to go to those places. And that's why I'm so fascinated by flow. It could be a good transition there because, you know, as Kyler talks about, is the prefrontal cortex goes radio silent. You know, we don't measure time in the same fashion. We don't measure our self-identity, the inner critic. And from that place, all magic occurs, you know, whether it's a musician in the pocket or an athlete in the zone. You know, it's literally a different perception of reality when you're in flow. And children in play are a perfect embodiment of flow. A creative child is a child in flow.
Amazing. Tell us more about the sport.
Yeah. Kim Flow. Kim Flow is like the nectar of my Dharma within the shell of Dharma. I mean, it's really, that's like the, because to me, it is my, I could play for endless amount of time. You know? It's my most raw passion. And that's where it all started was. So I'll give you the backstory to it is, as I was mentioning in the earlier in the podcast, is I would play basketball for hours upon hours.
Sure.
And it was my escape. It was my joy. It was my passion. And when I got to high school, I came upon a coach that really fucked with my head, man. He really tore me to shreds and just made me overthink everything and prove myself. And I got totally out of my flow state, which was what made me really good and really had the joy. It crushed my heart. I ended up quitting basketball and basically not picking up a ball for a decade.
Wow.
I mean, I'm talking like it was the top two or three traumatizing experience of my life. And so, but I always, in my heart of hearts, that joy that I felt as a child would live with me. And so I went into the corporate world, right?
Yeah.
Kind of losing touch with that. And so part of me being able to, make major shifts in my life was finding that joy and flow again. Yeah. And the way I found it was through this. Literally, it all started with this. And just to give you a quick background on this one, I won't go too long into it, but Alan Adler, a Stanford physicist, invented this in the early 80s after listening or reading about British war stories of Indian soldiers that would come into Britain. I know it's a little violent, but the point is that this is an ancient Vedic technology.
Wow.
So the Indian soldiers, it was actually based off of Lord Shiva. You would hold this chakram in his ring. Yeah. It's a Sudarshana chakram. He would hold it in his index finger. And it had 108 serrated blades and it could cut through, you know, an oak tree. But the point is Adler looked at the regular frisbee, said, this isn't maximum aerodynamics. How can we improve upon this? And so he came upon the Arobi. He created the Arobi fashioned identically after the Indian chakrams.
Wow.
Only thing he did is add a little spoiler at the end here that created
safety first.
So these are, I don't know if any, you know, some of you, I'm sure they're in Australia, you know,
they're everywhere.
These are just a like a blast. And people don't think about, oh, it's a cool Frisbee. It's fun. Well, I started playing and playing with my buddy, Kurt, in LA. And there was one day, it was December 26, 2017. It was the day after Christmas. And I'll simply never forget the day. I went from total passion and joy to, I'm not exaggerating, I literally became Neo in the Matrix. In terms of, you know, when he woke up and he had that, like, I know Kung Fu. Mm. Like, it just went to another level of flow for me. And it was so yummy. It was so joyful that I knew instantly that I had already been working with kids. I knew I had to take this to children.
Yo.
Because I was accessing flow even beyond what I experienced as a kid playing basketball through this game. And so that was late December 2017. Immediately, and it is a huge redirect for me. Actually, I should actually focus on this, is having the flexibility to allow your passions to completely break your life wide open. Mm. And even though I was working with kids, it wasn't a redirection in the sense of like, okay, now I'm going to stop working with kids. It totally changed where my focus was. We were going to work with a really large UN-based organization, and a totally different, it was all online and focused. I said, I'm not passionate about it. It looked like the money was there, all the things were lining up, but my passion wasn't. I was doing it because it felt like I should be doing it.
Right.
But my passion became this. So I made a major, I mean, we had like eight people in the organization at that point, and I showed up and I said, guys, we're going to start focusing on a Frisbee game. They all thought I was out of my mind, and I was, and I think that's what it takes.
I was.
Yeah. I was. And so, I mean, I'm talking, our first games were like, we put backpacks down. I didn't know what to do because it was just a two-person game. And so we put backpacks down on each side, and it was kind of like ultimate Frisbee meets like a little bit of like soccer, and there's like a weird things happening. But I was just like, I just kept going and I kept going. And the beautiful piece about it is that the children were the ones informing what the game wanted to be. Through hundreds of sessions and games.
Iteration.
It totally morphed.
Yeah.
It totally morphed. We had dodgeballs and it was like Quidditch and there was like 15 things happening. It was chaos. I'm like, yeah, great. This isn't working, but, you know, let's keep figuring this out. You know, all the light bulbs, you gotta try. But the passion was fueling me, man.
Awesome.
And so, long story short, there is, over time and repetition, a polished game was created that kept the whole essence of it was, how do we keep flow as the pedestal, as the measurable outcome, as compared to I won, you lost, I'm better, you're worse, you're going down, hyper competition, old paradigm thinking. I've just read an article about the injury rates in youth sports is an epidemic. I'm talking like 9-10 year olds tearing their ACLs like on a repeated basis.
Wow.
Because of the hyper competitive nature of youth sports and specializing in one sport year round. And so to me, Kinflow serves as a not just an alternative, but a universe of joy and flow that is sustainable and healthy and ultimately for the purpose of collective healing.
An antidote.
Yeah.
I love that.
So that's the game in it.
Even as you're sharing about it, you see how much passion there is there. It's amazing. I want to play. there's in and around that then, you know, like there's the underlying thread for me is the impetus for adults to cultivate more childlike states. Yeah.
1,000%, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just – I speak for myself, but it's what fuels me. I mean, and when people talk about like when they're around me, they feel a sense of joy and like food. And your laugh as well. Like actually, the first thing I ever noticed about you was you laughing.
Touch wood.
You're a jaunty. We didn't even meet, but I'm like, who's this guy? He laughs louder than I do. Like nobody laughs. Nobody laughs louder than me.
Touch wood.
But yeah, that laughter, man, and children teach me. They just teach me that play. Mm. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, incredible. Yeah. Can I ask you a bit of a personal question? Yeah. And this comes from a place of like consistently just having interviewed so many people on the Inspired Evolution. One thing that's really come up for me is I would almost like to say I'm being very conservative when I say 80% of the time. But I'm going to just say 80% of the time. Our biggest challenges form our biggest gifts in the world. It's
yeah.
kind of like this thread of the Inspired Evolution, like interviewing these amazing people such as yourself. And I couldn't help but notice that, you know, you had a coach that
yeah.
kind of said, like, kind of just fucked your flow,
yeah,
fucked your creative expression in sport, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, here you are now creating new sports, teaching right. kids, you know what I mean? Because I'm looking and I'm going, man, that's really deep. Like, you know, yeah. You've created something really special there. And like, you know, yes, trauma, but then on the other side of it, like, you know, if you own that and you move through it, like some amazing stuff comes out of that, yeah?
Yeah, man. I mean, even just kind of allowing myself to feel that space, that is the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pain is you know, our greatest teacher in many ways.
Yeah.
And yeah, it left such a mark. I mean, and you see this, you know, quite a bit as people have a traumatic experience as a youth, and then they literally, their purpose in life is to like help others not experience that,
yeah.
you know, and experience another way. And
absolutely.
Yeah, man. It to me feels like a calling, and it is as hard as it was necessary for me to be of service to a bigger picture than my own desire to, you know, be in the NBA, you know,
yeah.
and really it was, ultimately, I think that's what makes a hero is somebody that knows that their life isn't just about them and using their pain as fuel to help others.
Wow. That's so deep. And the essence of service is in there for perhaps those that are tuning in, like, you know, everybody probably has their own way of going about life, which I totally respect, but is there any, you know, advice that you can afford from your own experience of life in terms of walking towards, you know, those challenges that perhaps you're sitting with and then finding your calling?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just from a practical note going, I'm going to go back to Kotler again. He talks about finding the intersection point of your curiosities,
yeah.
is that being the mana for your passion, and then asking yourself, what needs or problems in the world can my passion serve?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's connected to the pain as well, because, yeah, just part of our mythology and our story is, those experiences that break our heart, man.
Yeah.
Because that's really the nectar of, I think it helps inform our purpose.
Amazing. Thank you.
And be vulnerable.
Yeah, and the empathy is like, again, woven into that. I love that. This is, yeah, really tight. Thank you so much for sharing that. What's next for you, bro? What's coming up? What's exciting? What's on the horizon? Like, obviously, you're here at MVU. You're in Croatia
yeah.
teaching kids. Like, you know, and I can see how much joy it's been bringing you.
Oh,
like,
man.
Every time I see you, you're like lit up. It's just like, yes. Yes, bro. So, yeah, what's coming up?
Yeah, it's been incredible here. I've been shaking my head about how good it's been. Yeah, so working with Mind Valley has been one of the highlights of my teaching career. And so continuing to grow this collaboration with them and through the Judy Julin and WOW Learning Labs, who's brought me here. So we've got a couple things happening. One is taking Kim Flow to the next level.
Yeah.
We're actually going to be working with the manufacturer of the discs, which is one of the largest toy companies in the world.
Amazing.
Called Spin Master. They're based in Toronto.
Yeah.
And so just, you know, proposing a collaboration with them to bring Kim Flow to the masses. So
awesome.
That's one piece. The other piece is we're working on an online program for parents and children to
yep.
do individually and together.
Mm.
That's called The Guardian's Quest.
Cool.
And it's inspired by Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey.
Beautiful.
Which is really integral to the ethos of Peace Guardians is
yeah.
the rites of passage and how we've kind of forgotten that as a culture.
Yeah, they're all non-existent, basically.
And so, yeah, so we're releasing that online program by the end of this year is the goal.
Awesome.
And yeah, just keep, you know, it's really fine walking, balancing act of, and hopefully this will be helpful to some viewers, is like having a grand vision, having a big picture, having your 5 and 10 year and your business plan, all important.
Yeah.
And what's the little next step that's right in front?
Yeah.
You know, and not getting too far ahead of yourself, because I think it's really key to stay present to the signs and symbols that come each moment and having a vision.
Yeah.
Simultaneously.
Yeah, it's interesting that dance, isn't it? In terms of like the big vision really does inspire you, but then at some point you can get paralysis by analysis if you're dreaming too big and you're left in that state and you're kind of off with the pixies a little bit as well. You run the risk of doing that.
Yeah.
Whereas focusing on your next morsel can also lead you down to like this drudgery of just like, it's just my next morsel. Yes, I'm still in my corporate sales job. You know? And so there's that balance. Well said. Yeah, you know, there's like that balance that you speak to.
I think it's got to, I think as long as there's, and this is actually just articulating right now, I think as long as you're connected to your drive and your passion and you feel like there's a greater need that you're serving, then you don't have to have the whole picture figured out. But I think the first step, though, is really getting connected to that drive. Because the drive will fuel the experiences. And then along the way, the joy, like knowing that you're doing what you love, then it becomes about the journey itself.
Yeah, the process rather than the outcome.
Which, yeah.
Your inspiration is follow your evolution. Inspired it, sorry. This is my own language. Just going, bang, 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 bang. Like a Christmas tree alive. Yeah, amazing, man. Amazing. I love that. Thank you so much for that helpful insight. And like, while I've got you here, I just want to thank you for your time and energy here today, man. Like, love just what you're about, what you represent, especially that focus on like, you know, the future of kids. Like, I think it's so easy for us to just be like, yeah, kids, you know, they are the future. I hear this said so many times. But in terms of like putting on the rubber gloves and actually getting stuck into that, man, like I have so much respect and admiration for the work that you're doing as Peace Guardians. Like, yeah, really amazing. And in and around that, just while I've got the opportunity to extend gratitude, I really want to thank you for like just showing up and being creative and embracing flow and going through your challenges so that we can have such an informed conversation to share with the audience today, like your journey, brother. Like,
oh, man.
Thank you. And just wishing you all the best with what's coming up next as well. Like, can't wait. For those that want to tune in with you, what's the best place to tune in?
So our website is peaceguardians.org.
Yep.
We also now have kinflow.com.
Sweet.
And we do have a GoFundMe crowdfund campaign that's on the Peace Guardian website. So always supporting that is hugely beneficial.
Yeah, and I went and had a look there as well. And there's like these key things that, you know, it clearly says like, you know, what you're supporting when you go and like invest in as well. So
yeah, it's really, I mean, amazing. It's probably really my only plug. Yeah, no, it's very clear on what, I mean, we've been building, I mean, it's, yeah, been fueling this off of, we don't have big investors at the moment. It's like, you know, this has really been, all a heart passion project, and now it is time to get to the next level, which does require support.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're here. My very last question, and by no means my least question, is beyond Kinflow, beyond Peace Guardians, beyond the name, beyond the skin suit, esoteric in its nature, who are you?
Wow. Well, I'll start off by saying who I'm not. Yeah, I'm not this avatar that's, and we're not these avatars and our stories, though they help inform our passion and our purpose. Who am I? Who am I? I'm someone that experiences divinity through play, through vulnerability, and through my heart, leading with my heart. My name in Hebrew, Zakaria, means to remember. Remember Jah, remember Source. And I feel like the closest we get to remembering is those moments where we're free. We're raw, we're open, we're vulnerable, and not afraid to love and be loved.
Thank you so much, brother.
Yeah, man.
Hey, tribe. Thanks for tuning in to another fun, enlightening episode of The Inspired Evolution. I've been loving all the feedback and personal stories of love, health, and growth. Your feedback and stories are incredibly welcome. The easiest way to connect with me is via my website, which is www.amrit-sandhu.com. You can leave me a message or a comment. It's one of my highest values to connect, so I love to connect and love to hear from you. You can also find me on Facebook, Amrit Sandhu. And if the content has been resonating with you, you can help the Inspired Evolution out in a big way by liking the YouTube channel, subscribing to the Inspired Evolution, or the Facebook page, like that please, at the Inspired Evolution, or by leaving a review on iTunes if you're on an Apple device. And also, if the Inspired Evolution episodes are inspiring an evolution within you, or you can feel the inspiration is valuable for your team to evolve to the next level, you can head on over to www.amrit-sandhu.com to see how the Inspired Evolution can help you and your team thrive. Much love, Tribe.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.